Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rigid Roosters podcast. My name is Cody, and I am sitting here with my absolute goddess, porn star, queen of wife, and a co-host.
Heather! I should say that, actually. Heather. Is that like, after your introduction, I feel like I need to be more...
That gave me a chub.
Did it?
For sure,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing good. I am doing good. I've had some really good weeks, some really good days, making some new friends. As far as the check-in that you're wondering about and some of our other friends may be wondering about, we'd put everybody to bed, tucked everyone in. I was doing my normal nightly, like, cleanup of the front room and kitchen, so we didn't wake up to it being a mess from the kids being home. And me and Cody found some pictures of our kiddo, our son, and an old friend that is no longer in our life, ripped up and torn by where the trash can is. So I collected it and I looked at Cody and he said, I'll go talk to him. And we found out Dad let him. He had an angsty teen moment and asked Dad if he was allowed to cuss.
And I said, yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Yes. And he, go ahead. He was there with you.
I think what he said was, I don't want that fucking guy anywhere near me.
Yes. Which broke my heart, of course, you know, because here we are. It's been a few months, you know, and I'm glad he's finally facing it. And it sounds like he's in his angry part, which, you know, as of last week, I told you guys that I felt like I was really starting to enter.
Yeah.
So I know we're healing. And then Cody and I have both checked in on him. And he's been fine. When he talked to me about it, it was just, he was tired of seeing his face because he felt like a best friend lied to him. And yeah. I let him know that his daddy was feeling a lot of the same feelings, and that if he needed to talk about it, that Dad would be a really good guy to talk about it, because they'd have a lot in common. And
that's a really good reminder that, you know, kids are little people, you know.
they're humans. They're not just...
Yeah, and they're going through all of everything that they're experiencing. Most likely, they're going through it for pretty much the first time. You know, him dealing with something like that, you know, say you're not in a lifestyle, you're in a monogamous relationship, and you're going through a separation or a divorce or something like that, you know, these kids are going to be feeling the same feelings, and they're a lot of the same feelings that you're feeling. It's just they're feeling them for the first time, and
it's almost harder seeing it
on
their faces.
How you handle the situation is going to be how they handle the situation, right? If they see you handling it with grace, and, you know, not only grace for other people, but grace for yourself, and giving yourself the ability to feel and really, you know, kind of reconnect with yourself in those moments, then that's what they're going to do. They're going to give themselves some more slack. They're going to give themselves the time that they need to heal. If you're trying to rush through this and you're just talking shit and, you know, just angry at the world, then that's how they're going to be. You know, your kids are looking to you to figure out how to handle everything in life, not just heartache, not just the hard things. They're looking at you to figure out how to handle everything. So that's why, you know, I know you and I try to handle this with a lot of grace for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that's very important. It's a good lesson to teach them.
Well, that at the end of the day is why we're doing, why I agreed to keep the Roosters alive and for us to continue on with the podcast and to expose and go through my hurt. We've got a new friend that, I mean, has sprinkled us with so much kindness just from her listening and her getting, I'm like, brand new friends. So they're getting to know us through the podcast more than we've got to talk to them in real life. I mean, we've not met in real life yet.
Yeah.
And her and another friend, one of my little girly pops from last week's story, had just made some really good points that the pain we're feeling is pain that other people need to hear, because it's not just happening to us.
Right.
And it connects us in all kinds of different ways, whether it be monogamous, whether it be polyamorous, whether it be just a friend with benefits connection gone bad. I mean, all those things. So
yeah,
that's the hard part. That's where I want to scream and cuss. I'd try to have a lot of grace and just save it for Cody or save it for when I'm having one of my therapy drives, because my kids need to be able to make their own opinions of people.
Well, and they need to know how to handle situations in a healthy way too, you know. And I'm not saying that you need to hide any of that, you know. There's times where you have to scream and cuss and you got to get that shit out, but you know, at the end of the day, that's not necessarily the healthiest thing to do all the time.
Right? Yeah.
And
I think it's being able to recognize, because I know the kids saw, they've seen me in some dark times. I mean, just, I couldn't control it. Yeah. I mean, that's why we're still on depression medicine. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I know that the kids have felt maybe even more than initially would have happened because they saw me in such, you know, sad Eeyore business days. I'm losing the train of thought there.
Days.
Yeah. Not the train of thought, but I'm forgetting the word that I'm trying to say. But
okay,
you know,
baby, words are hard.
I know words are hard. Just the bad, yucky days. So, yeah. So that was rough. But we've all done check-ins, and we're still doing check-ins.
Yeah, I think he's getting through it fine. I really do.
Kylie's come at nighttime when she's overtired. You know what I'm talking about. Her, it'll be Meemaw sometimes. It'll be whoever passed away, grandparent, you know, somebody she misses, but that's when it, when she's uber duper tired.
Yeah. Cause she starts thinking
when
she gets that tired, you know, and she just starts thinking and missing and wanting what was, and that's human nature. And that's one thing that both of them will come to find is you always want what was, you always want what you had. Mm-hmm. And,
well, it's because you don't remember the bad. You remember all the good.
Yeah,
so
and that's kind of a great thing about our brains is that we have that as a defense mechanism, right? We remember all of the good times. We hold on to those good times and we force out the negative, and that's a plus, you know. That's actually a great thing that we do. And you know, one thing, like I was saying, that she will come to find out, and that both of them will come to find out, is it's human nature to sit and kind of pine for what you had, or you know,
even you mourn, you grieve it.
And it's gonna happen. And you know, there's things in my life that I continue to grieve. You know, there's, you know, my Papa Bill, my Nana, and even my cousin that died when she was 15 years old. And there's still times that that catches me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song that comes on sometimes on the radio, or Heather's got it on one of her playlists. It's If I Die Young by the band Perry. I cannot listen to that song. I can't. Just because it makes me want to bawl like a baby every time I hear it. And so, you know, that stuff sticks with you, and you miss even the missed opportunities. You know, you miss
well,
it.
Well, even, okay, so go back, you know, piggybacking off what you just said leads me into my, like, second checkpoint or whatever, check-in of where I was. Had some great days, like I said, moving and grooving with old Sparky and a new friend, and got Miss Mary, and you know, I mean, things are grooving. Like, I'm feeling good.
I've noticed your confidence is coming back.
My heart is starting to get lighter, I guess. But going off of what you said, it just hitting you out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That song coming on randomly. I know when it comes on and I'm around to control it, I skip the song.
Yeah.
I still enjoy it when you're not there, but I understand for you what it is, so it's just an auto skip, you know. Yeah. I was just having a weird brain day, not particularly over any other reason, just not feeling right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I decided that I needed some self-care. And had to make sure that was all charged up so I could enjoy said self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had gotten started, and I mean, you know, when you're doing it yourself, you figure out your tricks, you know, but you know what buttons to push, where to flick the bean, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had it on like a spicy playlist on Spotify, and it was on like that smart shuffle, and normally those are pretty good about, like, if I'm in a playlist that has, like, sex songs. It doesn't turn to, like, you know, silly, you know, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. You know, like, yeah. You know, Gwen Stefani, or, like, something that's completely irrelevant. But a song came on. I can't even remember what it was, but I know it's Olivia Rodrigo. Do you remember Good Enough? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Something like that. Or I'm Not Good Enough, or I Wish I Was Good Enough.
Something like that.
Something like that. Out of nowhere. And it's almost, I mean, so it's got the feel at first where I'm like, okay, I can still kind of, like, vibe with what's going. But then, like, because I'm trying to keep my mind lucid enough to really enjoy the feelings that I'm experiencing elsewhere, it's like, I guess all my walls are down at that point. And so, like, the words were able to really filter in. And I have a friend, another one of my soul sisters going through a similar situation. But y'all remember, I like to work out my glutes and cardio via
self-care.
Yeah. It can get kind of rigorous, and that's what it is. Shoot, I lost my train of thought, because now I'm thinking about me doing it again.
The song came on, and...
Oh, yeah. But, like, so, that's what I'm saying. So, I'm not, like, everything... There's no thoughts in my head. It's, like, that one, that peaceful quiet you get that, I don't know, only drugs really give me. But, it was a song being, like... I wish I could have been a good enough. I thought I had done everything right. I wore makeup because... I mean, some of the songs obviously don't correlate, like, the makeup thing. That's just... part of the song. She wore makeup to be somebody that she thought he would like, and that he would pick, and that he would want. And still in the end, he told her, that's, you know, you're not my type. That's not what I want. And it made her feel not enough.
Yeah.
And so right in the smack dab, I'd gotten it warmed up. So we were getting there, and I had to stop and sob, turn everything off, put it back on charger, because we didn't want to waste any valuable time. So there was still part of me that was like, oh my God, okay. And made it, you know, click back on real quick so it would charge while I melted down. And then melted down, sent it to my best gal, and was like, don't listen to it now. Listen to it when you're by yourself, because you're going to cry, but it's a cry that you need to hear. Because then she talks about at the very end of the song being like, one day you'll be a memory, and I'll be somebody else's love story or whatever. Mm. And it might not be a love story. That might be just a Taylor Swift reference that popped in my head, but it's, you get the gist of the song. Yeah. You know, I find myself and whatever, I'll find love elsewhere. I'm not going to die without you. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I hadn't had a thought really about him. I guess with the new buddy boyfriend, we had been talking about, like, past exes and stuff. So maybe that was fresh on my brain. I don't know, like, subconsciously. But it wasn't at the forefront of my mind. So it was a really weird thing. So then, listened to that song, cried it out, had my moment, texted my girl, and then I was like, nope. I am not. It's not going to... It is not taking over my self-care time, because about that time, Cody had texted and said, hey, I'm leaving from CDL school. And I was like, I'm sending the kids to their after-school program. Pick them up for me, because I was determined to turn my day around. And I knew, well, I didn't know, but it just felt like that was something I needed to do, was find some kind of release, I guess. Yeah. So took him, you know, then I took care of myself, and then just because I knew you had to drive the hour that you did, and how long it takes to get there, and all this stuff. I got my good O's, and then I was just like, lay there and let it do its thing, and just wiggle around and enjoy it, and then get back up. So, I mean, it did after that, and then taking like a super hot blistering shower, not in the dark, because it wasn't a sad shower, but I left the, like, like that light on, like a light in the bathroom on, and left the light out here, and just jammed. I had moved into my men suck, women hating, man hating songs that I was back to feeling feisty me, you know?
Yeah.
So it came, I mean, it happened, It was very sad. I mean, it maybe to anybody else it wouldn't have been, but for me, it was very sad. I experienced it. It's something I shared, not because I wanted her to just be in pain because I was in pain, but because I know eventually she's going to come to a point where it's going to work or it's not. And yeah. It's going to hit, that song will hit her, and it, hopefully in a way that it did me, that it was another, I guess, random release that you didn't know was there, you know? So that's my check-in. And as far as fun times go, Sparky's been great. He's back home, still texting, checked in. That's good. Cool. Buddy boy, that's new. He makes fun of Cody a lot, but won't side against Cody at anything, so that's annoying. And then Miss Mary. Oh my God, hold on, time out. Just right here, friend brag. Did I say that right? Friend?
I don't think you're saying words right now.
Okay. Dun-da-da-dun! Friend rag. Oh my God, I still couldn't do it.
Friend brag? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, that is what I'm trying to do. I'm going to do it again. Dun-da-da-dun! Friend brag.
There you go.
I don't know what had happened. I felt really ill the other day. I don't get headaches a whole lot. But when I get them, I know something's wrong in me. Whether it be COVID, my headaches are always like ice pick behind my eyeball headaches. And there's no stopping. So it was low key that, but everywhere in my body just hurt. Like I felt like my arms weighed 1,000,000 pounds. And it was just, you know, everything took extra effort just to do. And I had... My sweet girl Jana had checked in on me, and I was telling her that I just wasn't feeling well. And her amazing guy, Tyler, I didn't even know you could do this. They sent me homemade chicken noodle soup and rolls and pumpkin chocolate chip cookies. And they had all these cute little quotes about like loving each other and loving ourselves. And there was like a Cookie Monster quote that I really, really liked. I can't remember what it is now.
I can't either.
But it was something that I was like, Cody, this is perfect for tomorrow. And now it's going to irritate the hell out of me. But so it'll probably be something I randomly go on Facebook and be like, oh,
this is what it was.
This is for more involvement. This is what we're going to do. Heather's going to remember her thoughts and come back and be like, boom. I was actually talking about the train on 27th Street hitting a car and killing a family
of five.
I don't know. I don't know.
What
really,
planet are you on?
I don't
right
know.
Now?
I don't know. I'm telling you, it's just turned my whole day around. Yeah. And now I've got a milkshake.
Well, good.
Okay. So there's all my that's my sads, my highs, my lows, and now my sweet boy. I know it's gonna be hard because it was an ugly breakdown, and I wanted very much to do not nice things to people because of it. So, this is your time. Tell us how you've been.
I've been okay. And you're going to hear a lot of guys say, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I'm good. I'm fine. I have not. I've not been okay. I realized tonight, as a matter of fact, when I'm in a hole, I tend to shut down. I tend to shut a lot of people out. I mean, I've got 30-something unread Snap messages right now just because I can't...
Even in groups that I'm involved with.
I can't get in and open them.
Sorry,
just
that
because
was my little drop of funny.
I don't have the energy in me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I shut down with a lot of people, and tonight at dinner, Heather told me something. She was feeling sick, and you know, normally, oh my God, babe, I'm sorry. Are you okay? Is there something I can help with?
Time out. Can I pause that? Oh, don't make me sound needy. I am on a new medicine that makes my belly like make me want to puke.
No, but it's true. Normally, I would
at least be like, I would. Yeah, he respond. Touches me or says something, and he did not.
And
continue. I apologize.
I didn't.
Sorry, I wasn't being.
And
needy.
I realized that in that moment, I was kind of, I guess, shutting that emotional part of me down with her as well, and that hasn't happened before, at least not that I've realized so starkly, you know. I've been depressed. I've been really fucking depressed, and I've just been kind of not acknowledging it, just kind of going through it, just kind of, you know, I hit the gym, I feel great for the rest of the day, and then I don't, and then I hit the gym the next morning, I feel great the rest of the day, and then I don't. And then, you know, I've just been kind of going through the motions. The other day, had a complete fucking breakdown with Heather. It was a bad body day. And this I think, is the start of where this depression comes from, is body dysmorphia. And, you know, there's a push in our country specifically, but around the world, there's a push for everyone to be fit, for everyone to be healthy. You know, you gotta get your body right to get your mind right, to get your spirit right, and all of this stuff, and that's great. You know, I do feel better than I have in years just from going to the gym and everything like that. But at the same time, what comes with that is body dysmorphia. And in those times where you're suffering with that, you do not see what everyone else is telling you that they see. I don't see handsome. I don't see good. I don't see fit. I see ugly. I see bad. I see fat. I see all the not good things that you can say about yourself. And when I'm suffering from that body dysmorphia, and, you know, what me and Heather call bad body days, when I'm suffering from those, that's all that I see. No matter what anybody tells me. And I had been going through one of those. I've also been suffering for the past fucking year with something going on with my throat where I can't swallow food. I can't eat normally. I can't drink normally. I have to take miniature bites. I have to take miniature drinks just to be able to keep anything down. Otherwise, it's almost like bulimia, except I'm not making myself throw up. It's just happening. And so that happened. I was already down because of the body dysmorphia. I had to go throw up because I had just taken a drink. And then on the way up, I hit my head on a cabinet. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I completely fucking lost it. With all that, having my breakdown, I kind of let go of a lot of things that I had been holding in. And I know I keep going from topic to topic to topic, but this is how it is, you know. And for anyone listening that's not a man, they're not going to get this. But the guys listening are going to completely understand this, because you pack the shit, and you pack it, and you pack it, and you pack it until you can't carry anymore. And that's what I was doing, even though I advocate on this podcast not to do that. And, you know, I say all the time, you got to talk to somebody and you got to get it off your chest. But I was doing that. And I lost someone that I considered my brother. I lost someone that told me that he considered me to be his brother, and basically what it proved to me is that I'm not allowed to have those kind of friendships. That's not something that I get to have,
which is bullshit, you know that.
And it was for someone that can call themselves that and say it repeatedly and so convincingly, to be able to do that, to turn around and do the things that they did to me, to my relationship with my wife, to my wife, it's a level of pain that I don't know that I've felt in a very long time. And I'm getting through it. I am, because, you know, I have to. there's not another option. But one of the things that hit me hardest is, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but I love hip-hop music. And Dax is actually one of my favorite artists. He's got a song called Dear God. And hang on, I'm pulling up the lyrics real quick because I don't want to misquote this. So, in this song, there is a there are two lines that really, 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 really fucking get me. And I heard it tonight and realized why it resonated with me so hard. I remember telling you my goals and my dreams, but you didn't even answer, so I guess you didn't believe in it. I remember sitting with a gun to my head, trying to ask you for some help, but I guess you didn't believe in it. And that hits me to my core, because I've been there and I don't want to go back. And the hole that I'm in now is worse than the hole that I was in the last time I was there. And I know, because I've tried it, that medication won't help. I know that people telling me it'll be alright won't help. I know that that praying to God won't help. You know, that's what that song is all about. I asked for help, and it never came. I know that the only thing that will help is talking and getting this shit out of my head. But it's so goddamn hard to do. And, you know, as men, we are taught by, especially from where we're from, you know, in Oklahoma, in Arkansas, Texas, you know, this Bible Belt, the buckle of the Bible Belt, we are taught that you have to be strong. You have to be there for everyone else. You have to support, and you have to carry the world on your shoulders. And doing that, I can't share. I can't be weak. I can't open up. And goddamn, it's the load. It's heavy. And I'm tired. I'm real fucking tired. But one thing that I have realized, and that I should have known all along, but one thing I've realized is that, you know, Heather is that support for me as well. Even though
I'm strong enough to take it.
Even though
when I'm sad too, baby.
Even though she's going through shit of her own, she is still that support for me just as much as I am that for her. If we share that load with each other and we talk with one another and we help each other out, then neither one of us will be in a hole like I'm in right now. And
you'd be pissed at me if I was in a hole like you're in right now.
I would. But like I said, you know, we're taught our whole life that you shoulder that shit and you go on. And
we're breaking all the norms being what we are.
I get it, but
so we have to work on that, me and you.
I get it, but it's
I want you to unlearning. Look me in the eye.
I hear
like
you,
for real.
But I want to say this. It's unlearning generations of shit that we've been taught as men. It's that in itself is a huge fucking
burden.
You're
breaking generational curses. You're doing that for our children.
And I'm trying.
And you are. You are doing it.
But yeah, it's hard. My life is great. It really is. I've got an amazing woman. I've got an amazing woman that lets me do fun things with other women. You know, I mean, I am so goddamn lucky. I've got two beautiful kids. I've got a good job. I make really fucking good money. My salary alone is more than what most people hope to make. I am fucking blessed. I'm not even religious, and I'm fucking blessed. You know.
Bless up.
But that's the thing about depression.
It comes out of nowhere.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to be for a reason. It doesn't.
And it gets anybody.
Heather asked me before we started the podcast, because I let her know that I'm in a hole right now. And she asked me, she said, was it something, was it this or this? Depression isn't caused by anything, right? Sometimes things can be going fucking amazing and it'll just come out of nowhere. Just blindside you and bring you to your fucking knees. And that's something I want everyone listening, including you, I want you to understand that life can be perfect. My life is fucking perfect. I've still got severe fucking depression.
I understand that, but I also need you to remember how I grew up with a type of adults that I grew up with and how hardcore I feel your energy in, like, the most not corny way. Like, so... I know when things are bad. I know
what you're going to say. You're going to say that when you ask me what's wrong, I need to tell you. But what I have figured out, especially over about the past week, what I have figured out is that I don't always know. I don't know what's wrong. And when I tell you nothing, it's because I can't think of anything that's wrong. I just know
something. Well, you have to think of a phrase or something. Like I do. That's when I said, like today, I had a blah brain day. I couldn't tell you that it was because of any one reason, because we've had things going our way.
Yeah.
And we have things on the back burner that we're worried about, but you know, that's life. Everything else is going according to whatever crazy things get thrown our way, you know. And then today, just 'cause it happens anywhere, out of nowhere, your feelings are valid, and you've given me enough space and enough shit for not just letting it out, or not just saying, instead of, it's nothing, it's fine, give me a minute, and brushing you off. You've made it where I'm not, in a mean way, not allowed to not tell you, but in a way that I can't process and tell everybody what I'm trying to say. But do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm asking for that in return from you.
Yeah.
I can understand if you don't know what's going on, but that's what I'm telling you. Today, I can't tell you there's not one thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, me and you, we're great. Sex with us, bingo. Sparky, perfect. Talking to the new ones, that's great too. All the fun that's happening there. Mm. The new relationships you're starting to talk about and maybe have more fun times with, you know? That's all great and well. So, like, nothing sparked today. It just what it was. And that's what I'm telling you. You're telling me when you say nothing, I'm telling you I can't hear that because, I don't know, maybe it's a trigger from my past because of the adults I've had. Mm-hmm. I need something more than nothing.
Okay.
Because then I sit all night, like, ready to, I don't know, attack. Ready to go, ready to jump, ready to fight, whatever, because I know the energy's off. I can feel that it's off. Parts of me can recognize that I know I didn't do anything wrong, so his mood should not have anything to do with me. Mm. But still, like I said, because of the adults and lives and people I've had, I still feel...
I'm the same way. You know, I get that. And I understand it. You know, and there's times where you'll tell me nothing, and I still feel it, and it's that's when I sit and I pester you and I make you tell me what's wrong. And I need, if I am to expect you to tell me what's going through your head, even if it's not me, I should do the same with you. And yes, I haven't been doing
that's what I'm asking. I need that from you.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I know. I think we both need to be more, and I'm saying this because I'm trying to be this way more with a girlfriend of mine, a friend of mine, be more mindful of, like, where our brain is, because especially me and you, we're so goddamn lucky because we refill each other's cups. That's how we make this work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And we have good, genuine people in our lives, and we're learning. I mean, yes, obviously we're still fine tuning things because a snake got in there, but we're fine-tuning people that are genuine and care about us truly, you know, like all these different things that, I'm losing it. Where was I going? Tell me, go.
I don't know where you were going.
Oh no, I'm losing it. I think it was our connection that like we have that within each other or whatever. So I guess that's why it's even more stronger. So I'm saying that for me, I'm finding out now, maybe it's because of an insecurity that I need to work on a little bit more with a therapist, but I think I need more, I'll need more reassurance than nothing. Like nothing is not, it's a trigger word.
I can start letting you know when it's, if it is nothing, I'm just going to tell you, I have no idea.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Okay.
Because it is something, I don't know if it's seasonal or what is happening.
And it could be because all the rain coming in
I've never been this deep before though. And I don't know why that is happening. And I mean, everything I've talked about just now, you know, I mean, that's probably got a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
I'm sure you're not sharing. I still feel like you're holding back emotion from that you've still not really dealt with.
There might be. But you know, at the same time, it's on days when that's not necessarily bothering me, when I don't know what's going on, mm-hmm. and you ask me what's happening, then I can definitely tell you I know something is wrong, but I don't know what it is. You know what I mean?
Well, then I guess here's what I'm asking. Maybe, and I will try to be the same way with you, when instead of being snappy before you pester me and tell me, and I finally tell you, instead of being snappy, that I need your grace in when I say, did I do something wrong? Or is it something pertaining to me? I need your grace and reassurance that no, I truly don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's just a bad brain day or whatever. Yeah. I just, nothing can't work, but maybe it's me asking for more reassurance that,
yeah,
instead of,
I can totally give you.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
And hopefully that doesn't, I don't know. That's either going to be something that I kind of require a little bit more of, a little bit more treatment that way, a little bit more like of the Tinder care kind of thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. It's just, our life is so fluid,
yeah.
But it's so freaking fun. I mean, like, how many times have we said that in the last, like, just week?
Yeah.
Texting each other, calling each other, cracking up about something.
Yeah.
Coming home after Sparky. I mean, you know, telling you all about it. Like,
yeah.
Just, it's good. Life is just life. And I love, you know, that I have it with you.
The thing about these holes is that you always come out of them, you know, and I know I will. And I mean, hell, I feel better today than I did yesterday, and you know, I'll feel even better tomorrow, you know, so I know that's going to happen. And that's, I guess what I'm trying to say is it gets better, you know, it always does. It gets better no matter what you're going through. It gets better. But let's move on from that. We're going to move on from...
We're doing like a recap of our, we talked about polyamory and swinging, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so just quick recap what we talked about. Polyamory is a relationship.
A relationship?
Yep. Okay. Polyamory is a relationship style where people have more than one romantic or sexual partner at the same time with the consent of all involved. And then Cody had...
I had swinging. Swinging is non-monogamous activities. Primarily centered around sexual activity that involves more than one romantic partner without necessarily the emotional connection that polyamory has.
Yes.
Both of those together, along with kink, BDSM, things like that,
sure,
comprise the lifestyle. And this is a lifestyle podcast. One thing that I wanted to talk about today was cheating in the lifestyle. Ugh. Because this is something I've been seeing more often, and I've had the question, you know, or people have the misconceptions.
Are we seeing it more often, or...
Or are we just noticing it?
Because it's happened to us now.
So
makes you wonder, huh?
One of the questions I had, and this is with my new group of buddies at CDO school, is, or one of the misconceptions that they had is that there is no cheating because we're swingers, right? That's not the case at all. You can definitely still cheat in the lifestyle. And
1,000%.
First, I want to explain, you know, how that happens, and I want to kind of dig into why. You know what I mean? And I don't have an answer for why, sure. is the thing.
I also want to know, I mean, I know you'll probably break down into it, but it also doesn't just disclude emotional stuff. Even if they're not physically touching that way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It, emotional, verbal, there's still things that you can totally be breaking boundaries. No boundaries are know that they're being broken. Yeah. And still cross right over them.
So the misconception that a lot of people have is that the lifestyle is easy, right? Well, let's break this down. The basis of any relationship is communication, right? That's the basis of any relationship you have. Whether it be friendship, romantic relationship, whatever. So in the lifestyle, you have an added level of communication with, I'm going to go play with this person, or I am interested in this person, or maybe I'd like a relationship with this person. Can we talk about that? And are you okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
Or there's, you know, hey, these are my boundaries. Let's talk about them and how we're both going to respect them, right? And if you can't respect them, then we need to have an entirely different conversation about if we need to continue this relationship, correct. Right? So basically, it breaks down to cheating is that lack of communication, right? That hiding, that being a sneaky little rat.
Like and the disrespect is yeah. what it is.
And, you know, the cheating can definitely still happen in lifestyle relationships. And it, like Heather said, it's not just physical. It's emotional cheating. It's anything that you have to hide is exactly. the thing, right? I don't hide anything from Heather. She is more than welcome to go through my phone. She's going to see an inordinate amount of porn.
Of all sorts.
She's going to see, you know, conversations with several different girls about all manner of different things, 90% of it sexual, right? But
knowing I have all of that access, when's the last time I had to check your phone?
Years.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's where I, like, looking back now,
mm-hmm.
I know how bad I was. Because I was checking his phone every other night or making yeah. him hand me his phone. And you know why? You shouldn't have to do
that. If you're at that point yeah. in a relationship, it's time to end it.
It is. You know? I mean, I know it takes a minute for your brain to get there sometimes, and but golly.
I'm going
to
be real honest with you. I was thinking that at the time, but I did not want to broach the subject because that's y'all's relationship. Yeah. Right?
Oh, well, I know, and I respect you for that. We had that agreement right. that we would keep separate as far as how to handle
right.
breakups and whatever.
Yeah. That's a boundary that her and I communicated.
Yes.
That, you know, I'm not going to be involved in their relationship. I'm not going
In the romantic situation.
I'm not going to make decisions
yeah.
for y'all's like our relationship was separate. Right. So that was a boundary we discussed and we both respected that boundary. But if you find yourself hiding anything from your partner, you are cheating. 100%. If you are hiding something, if you are doing something that you have to hide from your partner, from your friend, from something else, you're cheating. 100%. And it can happen in lifestyle relationships just as easy as it can happen in monogamous relationships.
I'm just throwing this out there. Like, being a friend, helping a friend out with this, with some problems that they have, and talking about a whole timeline of a life that's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
that's going to come, all the while helping with one hand, another hand, texting, being like, yeah, like, I mean, like, what were you... Like, texting what?
She's referencing the sort of situation.
It's just
in case nobody
moment.
Caught on.
Well, you know I mean? Was trying to not bring it back that way. Is
And that's the thing. Like, you know, the people that like ask, you why? Know, well, why are you so upset? Well, you know, they weren't together at that time. But there was an understanding that,
you know,
that work
and
was
Rachel,
being done.
We were on a break. That's, yeah. that's what it was.
There was an understanding that work was being done to try to mend that relationship. And in that... The understanding was that, you know, this is it, right? You're it. And there was cheating because this a whole other situation was being hidden
yeah.
and not discussed. And, you know, it's...
And then it hurts my heart for the sisterhood because I'm like, why aren't you thinking about this in the opposite reaction?
Yeah.
Like, he's telling you these big long things, and I couldn't see anything, but I know at one point there was a giant long paragraph, and it was just one of those times that that's when I turned around and I was like, hey, are you sure? I just want to know if you're talking to someone. I was like, I don't even know if I get to know, but if you're talking, just tell me. And he was like, no, what are you talking about? Put his phone down and then started helping me finish what we were doing.
Yep.
And, like, so on the flip side.
It can happen with swingers, too, just as easily,
yeah,
though. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. That was just like a light bulb moment. You said something resonated. I had to get the yuck out. I'm sorry.
But I want to open it up, and I want to, you know, everybody to know that, you know, the lifestyle is not just a free-for-all where you can do whatever you want to. No.
There's even more rules. I'm sorry.
There's more rules and more trust. Yeah. There's all of that, and you have to have enough respect for your partner to say, hey.
And like maturity level within each.
Yeah. To say, I'm interested in this happening. Are you okay with this?
Yeah.
You know, can we talk about this? Like anyone that I'm going to play with, I'll talk to Heather and say, hey, I've been talking with this person. I'm interested in putting my private parts in their private parts.
Yep.
Are you okay with that happening?
Yeah.
And if she says no, cool. We'll cut that off right there. If she says yeah, cool. We'll follow through on it. But I have enough.
And sometimes it's just like, can she say hi to me or something, you know, like, cause I prefer that.
And we'll get into etiquette on the next episode.
Okay.
I think that's a big one. Cause I have one message me today that wanted to talk to you, and
I love that.
That's a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. You know, if you will show that much respect to me, that lets me know that you're going to be respectful to my wife as well.
I want you to know. Okay. So we're getting this from the flip side from Buddy Boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we got told the approach was never made because I'm a married woman, and out of respect, if you or I had not messaged first, he wasn't stepping over the bounds of that.
Right.
And I've never really thought about that being the girl. Like I've had like some of my closest friends in the lifestyle started out because they messaged me first or messaged me after you guys had talked for a little while and, you know, was like, hey, I just wanted you to know this is who I am. Like, built that connection there where I was like happy to share you. I don't know why I like sharing you with friends more than I like sharing you with, I guess, strangers. Well, I don't think about with you with strangers, but I just like sharing you with friends.
Yeah.
It bonds us all in this weird way that I am totally like some hippy dippy in another lifetime.
It's because I have really good dick. That's why. And you want to share that with your friends and give them that experience.
No, it's just, I mean, yes, that is it.
Yes,
too.
It is.
I'm sorry.
That's what it is.
I was going to say something sweeter. I don't know. I guess it's because this is going to be corny. I'm being corny with you. Okay. Going off of like how we refill each other's cups. That's, you know, and like how that works for us and finding that within our friends.
Mm.
It's like, sometimes I feel like it overflows, like with happy or whatever. So I want to share that with my people. And so I would rather share that with somebody that I know needs it, like a friend, versus somebody that I don't know that I'm not going to get to talk to.
Yeah.
And then that just goes back to me and my identity being polyamorous versus it just being like a sexual preference for me or whatever.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So we've gone through what cheating is. Let's get into why. Now, with monogamous relationships, this is incredibly easy to explain, right? In monogamous relationships, you have two people that are bound together by vows, and they swear that's it for them. And if you can do that, I have a huge amount of respect for you. It's amazing. I'm so proud of you. And nothing that I say should change your mind from that. You're doing fucking awesome. Keep up the good work, right? But in that same vein, we are mammals. And what are mammals biologically programmed to do? They're biologically programmed to spread their seed as far and wide as they possibly can. And, you know, go forth and multiply. That's in our DNA, right? So I think the reason
you just have a breeding kink and want all the girls to tell you to put a baby in you.
I do.
What you're actually telling.
If you send me that message, you'll get bonus points, maybe even a shout out
for
on the
non-intellectuals. I'm letting you know, but that's what he's asking.
But no, I mean, and it really is though. So like with people in monogamous relationships that cheat, it's that interest in what else is out there. It's that interest in somebody else showing you that attention and that sexual that primal prospect. Yeah, right. It's that primal mm-hmm. animal yeah. urge, and you know, to be able to control that is great, and I'm proud of you. With lifestyle relationships, it's a little bit different, right? Because we're allowed to go and explore that animal urge. We're allowed to go and explore that breeding kink, where even though my baby factory has been shut down, hint, hint, ladies, we're allowed to go explore that, you know? But at the same time, we communicate about that yeah. beforehand. And this is where I can't understand the why of cheating in the lifestyle. I don't get it. It doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Because how could you have something so awesome where you can literally go and do whatever you want with whoever you want as long as your partner's okay with it, and you fuck it up? Like, have you ever heard the saying, you can fuck up a wet dream? That is the definition of fucking up a wet dream.
I have never, ever heard that. You country hillbilly.
I say that to people at work all the time.
I know you are a country hillbilly. All of these terms, you're like, what? Everybody says that. I have never heard anybody.
You get someone that fucks up all the time, like they can't go through a day without fucking something up. You tell them, you could fuck up a wet dream.
I have never heard that, but I guess it's because I'm not a boy. I don't know.
It could be because you don't work in a blue collar industry. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know. That's our way of showing
Sorry.
Love.
That was a random train track, yeah. but
I told an old man today that I was going to fold him into a pretzel and break his hip. And that was just my way of telling him that I care about him and hope his back's feeling better. So, but anyways, like, so you have something so amazing and you can turn around and fuck it up. That's something I will never understand. I don't get it.
I'm trying to I'm letting you talk right now.
Trying to pop.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm letting you
pop that pussy. Sorry.
What Go the ahead. Freak, man. I'm trying to let you lead it at the same time, not like angrily burst in with things that I want answered.
Well, because
you've
experienced it. You've had it done to you.
So I just want you to explain my silence in the background, or if you're hearing random noises, it is because I am biting my tongue or trying to, because I don't want to come off as over emotional with some of the things. Like, because what you're saying is just, like I said, I'm not bothered by anything. But you might say something that triggers a memory, just like I had that one just a yeah. second ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, there you go.
Oh, okay.
No, I need you to. I'm looking at you to remind me where we were at with that conversation. But
you started down a side road, and I don't know where that side road was leading.
Mm-hmm.
There's a house in the woods, but it looks really fucking creepy. I don't think we should stop and ask for directions. Let's turn around, maybe.
Mel would remember if she were here.
She probably would. She's better at remembering things than
I
am.
She loves me.
She does.
You don't love me.
Nope, you're right. This has all been a sham. It's all a facade.
I hate you.
And that's why we work so well together, guys, is because we can make jokes, and I can tell her that our marriage of, you know, 11 years has all been fake, and that, you know, I've never really loved her. She doesn't believe it.
I've decided I'm going to quit saying married 11 years, because we've been together for 13 years, and that's bigger than 11, so
yeah.
I'm always like, well, we've been together for 13 years. And then yeah. if they're like, well, how long have you been married? Then I'll break it down. But nobody, I mean, unless you're, actually, women ask usually. Well, yeah. how long have you been married? Then I'll answer yeah. it then. But for quick, like, Tinder answers or whatever, they don't care. Usually.
How long have you been legally together? That's a weird question to ask. Why do
Especially
we ask that,
that
as a
manner.
Society?
I don't know.
That's weird. Because that's what you're
does
asking.
That, so, no, that's only a poly problem, huh? Or, like, a lifestyle problem.
What?
Asking this question.
Everybody asks that. Oh, you got a wife? How long y'all been married? It's a common question.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How long
I was
have
like,
you been?
No, because they can't be married for more than. Okay. Brain went
How long
a
have
way.
You legally been in a relationship?
Yeah.
That's what that question boils down to. That's fucking weird.
So I wish you'd say 13 years. And then usually girls like, 11.
Yeah. Well, this has been a good episode. I apologize for my waterworks earlier.
Nope.
That's
you needed to get it out.
That's a hard conversation to have. And I want to say again that, guys, and I'm talking to everyone, but I know that being a guy, this is a very difficult, it's a difficult thing to tackle for men. Guys, your mental health is important. It really fucking is. And, You know, you'll see it on TikTok, you'll see it on Facebook, Men's Mental Health Matters, and we'll see it and we'll like it and we'll be like, yeah, it does, and then we won't fucking do anything about it.
Or you'll do it for your friend, but not for yourself.
Yeah. And guys, that load gets fucking heavy, and when it gets that heavy, you got to share it. And I'm promising you right now that I'm going to start sharing some of that load.
Because that was scary.
I can't get back to, like I said, I'm deeper in a hole now than I was the last time that I held a pistol and looked at it and said I could do it. And I don't ever want to get back to that place.
You're not allowed to get back to that place.
And I know that, but
I know.
In my brain, it's possibility. It's happened once, you know. I don't ever want to get back there. So I promise you that I'm going to start sharing some of that load. Guys, if I can be this vulnerable for however many people are going to listen to this episode, you can be vulnerable for your therapist. You can be vulnerable for your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever, your husband. I don't care who you got.
If you don't have anybody, you can have us.
Message me. I'll talk to you all day long. As long as I'm not deep in depression.
Don't lie. Actually, message up, Heather. Yeah, message and then Heather. I'll be like, hey, here's his number, so he'll get back to you when he can.
I have like 32 unopened Snapchats right now. I think I said that a while ago.
Yeah, you did.
I am going to, as soon as I start coming out of this hole a little bit, I'm going to go through those. I'm going to respond to people, I promise. I think I've explained to almost everybody on there kind of how this works and kind of what my process is.
I tried to include it in the intros. That
yeah. And I, again, all of you have told me, you know, Rebecca, Jennifer, they've all told me that you don't have to apologize, but I'm going to apologize because I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that to people. It should be, you know, I should still be able to talk to my people, but
no,
it is.
It's, everybody has brain days and everybody has low spoon. But the thing is,
I have brain weeks, brain months, you know, and I can't let that disconnect me from people so much. And
yeah, we do need to figure out something there.
So I think I just need to get better about opening and responding to Snapchats. You know, those people care about
because
me.
Because you're missing
out
on, I'm sure, like doses of dopamine. You know what I'm saying? Or serotonin.
I'm almost willing to bet that I'm missing out on some boobs.
I was about to say, I know Becca Boo, she is Ho Spice for a reason. So I know you're missing out goods if you're skipping all of hers.
And she's told me that the reason that she doesn't send them to me as often is because she knows that I don't ever open Snapchat.
Well, then you're missing out because I get them. And boy, howdy.
And she is so goddamn sexy. Just all the dirty things.
But you know what? I know it's like, here, I'm going to be corny about it. It's her freaking smile, and like, when you're with her, you just feel good.
And that ass.
for real. That's the male part of my brain. Yes, of course, that ass. That's 100%. I don't know what to do with it, but I love it.
I want
to
dive in face first.
See, I don't think that's my gig. I don't mind. I like it being done to me, but I don't think that it's my gig to do to someone else.
Swan dive face first off a diving board.
How about I lay underneath, okay? So she's like doggy style so that you can eat her butt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll play with her boobies and make out with her.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to end the podcast right there because I have to go take care of some things. Becca, if you're listening to this, that's top of the list right there. So, but yeah, I mean,
thanks,
it's,
Bobby. Thanks, Ronnie.
But yeah, I've got to get better about going through and getting back to, you know, my messages, my Snapchats, all that stuff. And I promise, when I come out the other side of this, I'm going to get better. If you're sending messages in to the Rigid Rooster social media, the good thing is Heather is pretty much in charge of all of our social media, so she's going to be the one responding to you. If you want to reach out to me directly, all of my socials are linked in the episode description.
But for real, go through Rigid Roosters or me first.
Yeah, and even if you want to reach out to Heather and say, hey, I need to talk to Cody about something,
yes,
she will have me get on, and then
yes,
I can conversate
listens
with you.
He listens to Mama.
Yeah. So, but yeah, just reach out because this, I have been,
best boy.
I've been dealing with this shit for way too long by myself. And, I gotta unload some of it. You know, it's too fucking heavy for me to carry anymore. So,
it just burns me. It burns my biscuits. that...
Look who's a country ass now.
I know. I did it for you. Having that happen... I know... Ugh. It makes me want to do very mean things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had you, one, first and foremost, to break down the most with. But you also had help with the girls coming in and being here while you were at work and keeping me afloat and keeping the kids normal and things going, you know.
And I don't know if y'all know this about me, but I don't keep friends. I don't have a circle. I don't have
a group
of people that I can reach out to.
And God, that's this was it.
Yeah.
It. I'm telling you. I mean, it really does burn my biscuits, but it really pisses me the fuck off. And I really fucking hate that he did it.
I'll take that back. I have friends, but I don't have friends that I can reach out to about this stuff. And
because you did with him, and it...
I did, and now I don't. But, you know, that's just... That
and
just means
all
that
it could, all it took, all it could have taken was just communicating and being like, hey, so this is happening. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just honesty.
Being... I understand it would have been scary because I don't know what my reaction would have been, but I don't know why he had been honest and he had told me that it had started happening. But then all of a sudden got dishonest about it all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, you said you want to do mean things. I don't.
I know, but it's just because. For one thing, I don't care what happens to me in the long run. I know you battle and you hate that I feel that way. And you hate that I don't put me higher above than I do. But that's... I love so fucking hard, and for my people, I will face whatever comes to me. I've been doing that since I was born.
Yeah.
But my people should not have to feel hate and hurt and all this crap. The way you broke that the bottle that you were holding, and I mean, it was just because you'd hit your head, and it was just any other time. It was just that one time that the straw that broke the camel's back or whatever. Mm. Seeing all of that, knowing I know you don't blame me or hold me or hold it in any regard, but knowing that in my own way I was responsible for what was just because of him being in our life and having him here, that is something that was only brought in by me, and that's a struggle. But that's where I hate him, because I have girlfriends where I could turn to let them know that, like, oh my God, I'm really feeling this big because Cody's hurting far worse than I thought. And I have somewhere else. Ooh. Talked with my hands.
You have a microphone you can slap around too.
I have somewhere safe. I have a safety net that I can share that with, because I know you're not holding me responsible for those feelings. Mm. I didn't do this thing to you. He did. Yes, I brought him into our home, but I didn't make him do all these awful things. I mean, I didn't do that part. Rationally, I know that. Mm. But I have a safe space to go with my girlfriends to get it out. And I hate that you did it, that you had that, oh, I hate that he was that for you.
I still have it, though. I've got you.
You have me, but it's different, and you know it.
Nah.
You know it.
Nah. Nah.
You're just trying to make me stop crying.
You want me to helicopter
for you? I was about to say, are you going to helicopter for me?
I can helicopter for you.
Okay. On that note.
Well, guys, I think we're going to end it right there. These will get less heavy as time goes on. And, you know, I think even the last half of this episode, we showed that, you know, these will not always be as heavy as they have been. And, you know, sometimes they might be as heavy as they have been. And we want to give you real. We want to give you honesty. We want to give you life. And that's what we're giving you. I appreciate you listening to me today. I know that I feel a little bit better having the space here to be able to get that out. You know, she did mention that there's still some emotions there that I'm not sharing, and I mean, yeah, it's true, because I can't put that on a national platform, because there are things that I'm feeling that might trigger somebody into having those not nice thoughts, and I don't want to do that.
He's like, my wife is crazy, y'all. And if it's not my wife, her sister's.
No, it's the stuff that I'm dealing with, and it's you know, I don't want to make anybody feel something based on what I'm feeling. And so, yeah, I mean, there is stuff that I can't get out here, but I got some of it out here, and that feels better. It does. I'm looking into therapy. I'm looking into...
I do think with our new friend that mm-hmm. you have that we found that mm-hmm. there's going to be a good outlet for you. It seems like a very good friendship is starting there.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know. I'm getting good vibes is what I mean.
Yeah. It's hard for me to get vibes off people till I meet them. But I mean, I'm feeling good about it too.
That's
but.
Probably why I'm still crying and boohooing over something stupid. So, you know, who knows?
No, you're much better at picking up the vibrations of the universe than I am.
Well, maybe not.
But all right. Well, on that note, guys, don't forget, love yourselves because we love you. Okay. Thanks. Bye.